Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another exciting installment of the Que Golazo podcast. This one is very special because it's a recap of the U.S. beating El Salvador 1-0. I'm Jimmy Conrad, and I'm going to be here alongside Heath Pierce. The Que Golazo podcast begins right now. Oh, hey, buddy, everybody. What is going on? Welcome back. Jimmy Conrad here with Heath Pierce. Big, big win for the U.S., 1-0. I know, because we talked about it before, that Heath isn't actually happy with this performance. I kind of got a little pep in my step for whatever reason. Not a Ricardo Pepi in my steppy because he didn't play tonight. Jesus Ferreira was a surprise starter. His FC Dallas teammate, or his former FC Dallas teammate, got the start in the number 9 position. Heath, a lot of places to go here. And, of course, before I throw it to you, just to get your overall thoughts, a healthy reminder to let everybody know to hit like and subscribe. Turn on your notifications so you do not miss a episode of this on the YouTubes. And of course, if you're listening to this on podcast, leave us a 5-star review. Tell us how much you love the show, what we can do better. I don't think that's possible because I think we kill it, but I'm a little biased. Heath, great to see you as always. You look fantastic. For everybody that can't see him, he's got a suit on and a bow tie. Looking awesome, my man.
It's a sport coat, Jimmy. It's a sport coat. With a bow tie. I'm doing well, though, man. Look, I'm happy. Just before you bury the lead, I am very happy that the U.S. got 3 points in this match and that we're a step closer to the World Cup that we 100% are going to qualify for. It was just, again, one of those things where, if I put it into context, Jimmy, I think we got what I expected we would get, which is right ideas. I think we understood the game. We understood the task. We understood where the space was, where the answers were. But it lacked some sharpness, right? This team hadn't been together in a while. Number of players at different phases of their season in terms of either playing or not, out of season, off season, in training camps, all these types of things rolled into one. Makes it really hard to have a cohesive unit.
Sure.
With the main goal being 3 points, they achieved that for sure. And I'm happy with it. But again, I know that we got 3 games now this window, and I know we're going to have a bunch of changes. I'm expecting we're going to have a bunch of changes. And I go, man, it would have been nice to have a really good performance. And then Greg go, you know what? I'm going to go with the same team, or at least 8 guys in the next match. And then the last one, we're going to go with 7 of those guys. You know, I think we'll see MMA and those types of things happen consistently, but maybe even the back 7, and there could be just a few changes. But yeah, overall, I'm happy for the result, but I'm left wanting a little bit more, just because you see these flashes, Jimmy, of the team at times.
I get
you
it.
Go, oh, this isn't just about whether or not they could play better or a little bit better or incrementally better or more cohesive. It's about the fact that they could dominate in some windows where you're like, wow, these guys are better than any national team we've ever seen. And you see it in glimpses and you just want more of that, man. It's like a drug.
Okay. Now, before we take a step further, because I want to have a rebuttal to this, I want to make sure that everybody knows that we have a winner to announce on the U.S. Men's National Team Hour, a special show that we do every week on Mondays. We had a giveaway that was a $100 gift card to Paramount Plus, and that is awesome. And the lucky winner is ready. You ready for this, Heath? I got my drum ready.
Yeah, please tell me.
Zach Seeger is the winner. Congratulations, nice. Zach. Hey. Producer Dez has already contacted you with details on how to redeem your prize. So enjoy all that delicious free content, including World Cup qualifiers, the Champions League, Europa League, Serie A, NWSL. You got NFL movies, series. It's all happening. Clifford the Big Red Dog is on Paramount Plus. I mean, that alone is worth the subscription, but you get it for free, my man. Also, to those of you that didn't win, don't despair, because tonight we're going to give you another opportunity to have some of this great, great action, this Paramount Plus action That's part of our boundless generosity, as it were. It's another $100 gift card to Paramount Plus that's up for grabs. So make sure we get at least 700 likes on this video. Whoa. If we get 700 likes on this video, then you're going to be entered to win. Make sure, though, you also leave in the comments section, the chat section, your Twitter or Instagram handle so we know how to reach you. That's how you got to get in there, okay? Now, Heath, and I'm going to remind everybody about these rules, but I did want to mention to you that we had 62% possession. Mm-hmm. We had 17 shots. El Salvador had zero.
Okay, against El Salvador at home. Okay.
Oh, got it. And our expected goals, our XG was 2.98, almost three. Mm-hmm. That's when you just look at that. So you don't watch the game. Okay, sure. You go, oh, it's 1-0. Okay, great. But we dominated in a lot of the important categories. And I know that we can nitpick here. And there were some performances. But you and I both know that, as you just mentioned, coming out of a break for the MLS players, some of our European-based guys aren't starting regularly. Christian Pulisic, I think, is in his own head. Didn't play particularly well. And he basically mentioned as much prior to the game that he's having a tough time mentally and emotionally and to just be engaged and a little bit in a different spot, which is part of the evolution of a player who's playing at the highest levels, right? You have to figure out how to work through the downs as much as you figure out how to work through the highs. I didn't see it the same exact way. I actually, maybe my expectations were a lot lower because of all these other factors that came into play. I knew that whatever it looked like, El Salvador was going to be a scrap. There was a scrap when we went down there. And even though it was 0-0 in the away side of things, Heath, that one was more disappointing for me because we didn't create opportunities. I was frustrated because we didn't take what they were giving us. And I thought tonight we did a we just made better decisions with that. We took more opportunities, took advantage of that. And I guess that pleased me. I got these little things that some of my boxes that I look for in a game got ticked. And even though it didn't turn into this 3-0 thumping of El Salvador like it should have, we did enough to get the 3 points. And so that's where I wanted to go with that.
That's fair. Jimmy, I'm not going to speak anymore until you put the drumstick down. Put the drumstick down. You're intimidating me now. You keep pointing at me with it. And it feels a little bit of an attack. But what I will say is I agree with you. You know, I think you put it into perspective well of what we expected and what we got out of this game. There was an intelligence and an IQ to this game that I think was well drawn out by Greg Berhalter. I think it was well executed by the players. Where I was left wanting more is that I just see these build-up moments, right? Or lack of where the ideas are right. 1, 2, 3, 4 passes. And then we get in and around the box and the ideas aren't there. And what I will say on the flip side of that.
Wait. Do you think it's ideas or do you think it's just a lack of risk taking? Like just having the confidence to run at somebody. And if you lose it, you lose it. But that lack of conviction, I think, is maybe, are you speaking to the lack of conviction bringing an attack to completion? That is my favorite Heath Pierce quote.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know if it's a lack of conviction on that because we did see players try to run at guys, but it was more of like running without intent in those moments, right? Running at guys because you wanted to run at guys, not running at guys because of what that would do to change the angles or the balance or offset a team or create these numerical advantages and things like that. That's what I felt was a little bit off in terms of the pace, like a step off of, you know, it just reminded me of preseason moments. Of Jimmy, you remember preseason where the right pass is there, the entry ball. Okay, great. But from the very early onset, Musa was dropping really deep to find the ball. He was flat with Tyler Adams a lot of the time. McKinney was higher. I like McKinney higher, but I actually like Musa in between those two or the highest, where McKinney can do the late run in the box. I don't mind that. I know that's a little counterintuitive to say like you're further back, but you're the guy in the box. But I like Musa in those tougher spots because he's comfortable with his back to the goal. He's comfortable at coming in and out of spaces, changing the point of attack. He was coming back further. Then Ferreira started coming back further. Then Pulisic started coming back further. And it was harder to connect the dots. And I thought that tactically was a little bit off. I think they figured that out in the second half. But overall, it just felt like, okay, here's the next pass. Or, you know, when you start to feel that buildup where you're like momentum, you know, when you're in training, gym, and you have a good combination play and it goes in, out the other side, you go, oh, wow, this is good. This is beautiful football. We were so close to that a few times. And then it was just that last touch or that last ball. And I'm talking about Weah's first touch in the box on his chance required him to take a second touch, which allowed the player to get back. I'm talking about these one-on-one dribbles where instead of making decisions, they were sort of stuck between minds and El Salvador was able to get numbers behind or deny those chances. Those types of things that usually I put our front line against anybody in terms of the attack, in terms of one-on-one dribbles, in terms of creating space, in terms of getting in behind teams, in terms of that sort of stuff. And I just didn't see that as much as I wanted to. Having said that, clean sheet, great. We were never really under threat. We did give up a huge chance, I thought, at one point when we were a little bit exposed. Mm-hmm. But yeah, with the XG, as you said, Ferreira had huge chances. We should have been more comfortable in that win. I can't complain too much. But there was a little bit left for me to be desired, considering it was a home game. And I have higher expectations from home than obviously playing away to El Salvador.
Okay, so everybody, before I move forward, I want to talk to you about Jesus Ferreira and if you think he should have started and how well he did overall after you saw his whole performance, despite missing those chances. I do want to remind everybody that it's 700 likes on this video for that for us to unlock a $100 Paramount Plus subscription. And you need that 700 likes by Sunday. So we have some time to make that happen. Does it all have to happen?
No, we don't have time, Jimmy. There is no time. Today is all we got, dude.
And it's,
I know, rules they have till Sunday, but let's go now.
But I just want to say for everybody listening on audio or on your, you know, obviously we're your favorite podcast, come over to YouTube, hit the subscribe button, hit like, and then we'll be good to go. So you make sure that you're interested in as well. We want to make sure everybody feels included in this. We're an inclusive podcast, not an exclusive one, right? So we want to make sure we can give you all the good stuff all the time. And this is our token of appreciation for all the support that we've been getting from everybody. All right, talk about Jesus Ferreira. We had a comment from Tanner who said that if Ricardo Pepi had been starting, then Ricardo Pepi would have finished one of those two chances.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good reaction. Obviously, we were all pretty surprised that Jesus Ferreira got the start. I assume that he'd been playing pretty well in camp and looked pretty sharp. Otherwise, I don't think you roll him out there. What do you think about him starting? How do you think he did? He got the assist on Anthony Robinson's goal. I was surprised he actually played as long as he did. I thought that we'd see Pepi at some point, but it didn't look like that's going to happen. Maybe we're saving him for Canada and Honduras.
I mean, Jimmy, I want to get your take. I mean, I know you're sort of teeing me up as today's host, but we were just on CBS Sports HQ, and you spoke highly of it. You were impressed with his performance, and again, I wasn't as impressed. But I want to, you know, for the people that weren't watching this and are listening now or watching now, kind of what was your overall take of him? And just like you asked our audience, do you think his performance warranted another start over a potential other option like a Zardes or a Ricardo Pepi?
Oh, I like Ferreira, and I like his game. I don't think he's a traditional number nine, so you're putting him in more of a –
Man City, Jimmy? What are we, Man City?
I'm just saying we're asking him to – he can do it, but I think we're asking him to maybe do a little bit more than what he's used to. And I feel like he's better as a second striker, right off the shoulder of a proper number nine, underneath Ricardo Pepi, which is what he did for FC Dallas.
Oh, you mean coming off the bench, because nobody plays like that anymore. Nobody plays like that. If we played with two strikers, you'd be the perfect one for this job. Unfortunately, we play a 4-3-3.
Well, if he comes back in and drops in, yeah. So I get your point. But I thought that he was busy. I thought that he created that first chance, right? Where he got it out of his feet, good first touch. All he had to do was hit it on frame. And then the other one, he makes a good run to the back post and puts himself in a position to score. And as you and I know, and we do a lot of coaching as well, the hardest thing to teach is that awareness, that anticipation of where to be and where you think the ball is going to be and putting yourself in a place to score. So when I see him creating those chances, that gives me a great deal of satisfaction, frankly. I worried that he wasn't going to get a sniff. I thought El Salvador was really going to be in a low block, and those chances weren't going to be created. And I thought we did a pretty good job of making that happen. We felt a little heavy right-sided. It felt very Weah-desk for a good portion of the game. And then, of course, Anthony Robinson's the one that ends up scoring. But I'd like to see a little bit more balance. And what does give me some concern, I'm kind of jumping ahead here to just a thought that I had. We are very aggressive with our outside backs in a back four to both get forward at the same time. And it almost cost us one time where Anthony Robinson was way out, caught out of position when Des was actually going up higher up the field. And I feel like a team like Canada could expose us on that, and especially a Tejan Buchanan who can get inside of that and kill us. So I know I kind of pivoted
I fully agree. I think that's a huge weakness. I think that's a crutch to the team. When you see fullbacks, I was a fullback, man. I love to be high and wide. But when you have both of them that high up, that is a crutch. That is a crutch to not wanting to defend, to do the core things right. And I think you get exposed very, very quickly. Now, if we had a back line, if we didn't have Walker Zimmerman, we had John Anthony Brooks on there on the ball, you have a little more comfort in your ability to keep the ball, better at passing lines. Tim Ream's great at passing through the lines and keeping possession. But with our current back line or two center backs, you can't have players like that because Walker Zimmerman is going to make a mistake from time to time when you force him to have to make the game as the first pass. And now you're exposed. And so I think I don't like that, and that needs to be addressed. I'm not saying you have to have one back traditionally where it's like three flat and one high, but you have to have that reaction speed of saying, hey, you're both very pacey. So if we lose that ball, you better be on the same pace back as you are forward. And if you can fix that, I think it's great. Sorry to interrupt you.
No. I'm glad. I want to continue this and make it like a running conversation. So with regard to Jesus Ferreira, I thought that he got a task that was going to be difficult, right? You're coming into, for me, whatever, to the weather. Both teams are playing in it, so I think it kind of shouldn't make that big of a deal. And then also, you know, you're going to know, you know, automatically that if you're starting as a nine and Pepe's the one that gets all the hype, you know, that there's going to be already be some criticism of how you're playing. So now you're thinking, oh man, I really got to play well to make sure I don't get any negativity my way. But I thought he did fine and he put himself in good spots. He did assist on the Anthony Robinson goal. He doesn't give up. He's got a good nose for goal, and I appreciate what he brought to the table. And my expectations were firmly set for what I thought when I saw his name in the team sheet of what I was going to see, and I basically saw that. The cherry on top would have been him scoring and hitting the back of the net, and obviously he was very close to doing that. Now, I don't think he's going to start against Canada. I think we're going to go to Ricardo Pepi. I think that once they made the decision to go with Ferreira, I'm sure there was a conversation. It was always going to be hard to play any of these guys in three straight games, and then we're going to get into a lineup. We're going to have a special U.S. versus Canada preview coming over. I think it'll drop on Friday or Saturday. So we'll get into that a little bit forward. We just really want to focus on the recap, as it were. So give me your player ratings and everybody else can join in as well. Let's do it out of 10. And if you're listening to us a little bit later, hit us up at Kegelasso Podcast. Who is your man of the match? Maybe you start there. If you're just hitting us up on Twitter at Kegelasso Pod, but let's go through your ratings, Heath Pierce. Let's start from back to front.
Yeah, Matt Turner, hard to rate, made the saves that he needed to do. I mean,
like what, 6.5? I mean,
yeah,
he didn't have much to do.
6.5. I mean, I can't give him too much of a high end. But again, the statistics of Matt Turner are fantastic. So I'm going to give him an extra half point just on the fact that he continues to get clean sheets, whether he's got to work hard or not. He's there to make those things.
Arsenal legend, by the way. He's a new Arsenal legend.
Yes, Arsenal legend. Again, he's another guy that realized that, you know, maybe my best chances aren't to be playing. Just go to a bigger club. You know, and now I'm going to be a starter. You know, Zach Steffen not getting the time, but performs well with the national team. And is the starter on the team. So I'm going to give him a 7. Backline, Serginho Dest, I actually really liked his performance today. Yes, there were two to three moments where he wasn't great defensively that I think could cost us again. He needs to be a defender first and attacking second. We know that's probably not ever going to happen. So I'll take what he did offensively. And offensively, I thought that he was really good. He played some good balls in the box. He was the relief. He was the answer to a lot of problems when they were bunkered in or the spaces were tight. Centrally, he was the answer out wide, like you mentioned before, for a lot of the time. So I'm going to give him a 7.5, maybe even an 8. Two center backs, solid jobs. I'm going to give them 7.5s, 8s. I'm going to give them 7.5s. Anthony Robinson, again, one that I worry about defensively still. But scoring the goal, he gets an 8 for me. I'd still actually go with Serginho Dest probably being a better performance than Anthony Robinson, even though he did score the goal. I'd take the goal away because I don't want to discredit that whatsoever. That's an isolation. Fantastic. Okay, got us the win. But I liked Serginho Dest today, and I haven't been saying that a lot lately. Musa McKinney-Adams, first half, very different than the second half. Adams was phenomenal, covering a ton of ground, doing all the dirty work that made it so when we were vulnerable. It wasn't too bad.
I'll jump in really quick and say that Tyler Adams had 91 touches on the ball, most for any player on the U.S. men's national team. Yeah. And he had 10 recoveries, right? So he was obviously the most active defensively as well. So, yeah, my only issue with Tyler Adams, and maybe this was planned by El Salvador, was that I feel like they dropped off and let him try to be the playmaker and gave him a little bit more space. And I thought he, maybe because he saw that space, wasn't as clean with the ball. That he's a little sloppy with the ball when he won it, which obviously he's going to have to clean up against a very good Canada team. But sorry to interrupt.
No, he had it. No, I mean, I don't want to go through all. I mean, do you want all my numbers? I think they're pretty arbitrary. But just
no. I think keep going.
You know, Tyler Adams. Again, I thought was solid, especially defensively in transition. He covers a ton of ground, which I think is scary to think that that's the thing that we have to do if we have our fullbacks high and wide. Like you mentioned, there was a few buildups that he took some bad touches, had a few turnovers that, again, talk about Canada, 1-2 passes, they're in your box. You know, it's not like El Salvador, who lacked a little bit of that speed and pace and transition to really, really punish you. So I give him, it's almost 7s across the board for me. Even looking at Ferreira, I could go up between 7s and 8s. Nobody had a bad performance.
Let's go to Christian Pulisic because he notably struggled. I mean, it was, you could
five
tell he struggled.
5 or 4.
Four is low, but I'm not here for
a few reasons. One, it was like 25 minutes into the game when I first realized that he was on the field.
Do you think he was trying too hard?
At times, I think he gets desperate and starts looking for the ball, and I think that makes it really hard because the technical ability of our team right now, we have the ability to move the ball across the field, and it's not just one-dimensional where he can go and find it every time. Players will look past him or not look to him always, and I think that's a strength to us, but obviously for him, from a frustration standpoint, he's going looking for the ball. I think he did try hard at times, found himself in a mix where it reminded me of like Bumblebee soccer, of everybody just kicking their legs in a tight space of four or five players, just kicking the ball away from him, poking the ball away, so to speak. And then didn't find, never really found a rhythm as to how, of course he had a few moments and bright things on the field, but for the most part, he either turned the ball over, wasn't really involved in the attack, didn't seem to have ideas, looked a little bit off, like body language didn't look like the Pulisic that we want, that even when he's trying hard, usually his body language is like, get me the ball, I'm going to carry the team on my back. And it just looked a little bit slow. Like I said on HQ, he looked almost injured in the sense that like he looked stiff. His body didn't look loose. It didn't look relaxed. It didn't look, and I don't know if that's the cold or whatever, but he just looked different to me. And from start to finish, and maybe I was overanalyzing how he was going to react, knowing that he usually comes into the national team and picks up his game, right? Finds his rhythm from a bad place. And we all know that, right? You bring a player in and it's nice to be back with their family, with the family again in the U.S. and part of the national team, because you are sometimes very isolated in faraway places, especially during COVID. So I would say max five in his performance.
Okay. So let's just play devil's advocate here and give him the benefit of the doubt in some ways. Do you feel like teams are stacking him up in a way that they're not stacking up any other players? Like they're targeting him.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So he's got to work through a couple other things that maybe some of the other players on our team don't. That's one. Second, do you feel like if it wasn't working and there was a noticeable stack up by El Salvador, there should have been some communication with Greg Berhalter, either from Christian to him or to Berhalter to the team? Like, why don't Timo Weah and Christian just switch for 10 minutes?
Yeah.
15 minutes. Just switch sides and see what happens. Maybe he could unlock some things on the right side. Maybe that combination with Dest on the right side could be something that gets him going in a little bit of a different way. I thought that would have been worth trying.
Yeah,
and that's something definitely I wanted to throw out there. But I do want to give a shout out to Berhalter because it wasn't working and he took him off. He was the first sub. And
well, you got three games, so I'd use him more in the other games, knowing like, why am I going to take him 90? If it's not working, it's not working. And the fact that you've got Brendan Aaronson on the bench, the fact that you've got other players that you can go to on the bench that didn't even play in this one, I think it's a great shout. It takes a lot of maturity for Greg to look at Christian Pulisic, who's in a bit of a down right now, and figure it out and say, hey, it's not working today. We'll give him another run because he is Christian Pulisic. He is our best player when he's at his best. But today's not his day, no problem. We've got other players that can do the job.
I wish that he wasn't our captain. I wish that Tyler Adams was just the out-and-out captain. Okay. Tyler Adams is in a position in the field that is more captain-esque. I feel like center backs, goalkeepers even, because you can see the whole field. You can kind of maintain the pace. You're a little bit more of the glue of the team. And when you give it to an attacking player, you just want them to focus on attacking, baby, not be a leader. And so I just feel like that adds a layer of responsibility to Christian that I don't think he needs. And I don't even know if he wants. I mean, I'm sure you're never going to turn down the captain's armband for your national team, but I just wish that Tyler just had it out and out and Christian could just worry about scoring goals and being awesome going forward. So I don't know. Daniel says Pulisic should always start. He's one of our best players. He'll figure it out. Well, that's the question. I guess I'll lead into it. Do you think Pulisic should start the next game? Or do you feel like, as I mentioned on HQ, that he came on as a super sub against Mexico and obviously that worked to great effect? And he scored a vital goal for us to help us beat our biggest rivals. Maybe that's the best role for him right now until he can get that. I don't know. I think you start him, but
yeah, if right now, I don't necessarily think you need to start him. I think Greg Berhalter has the relationship with Christian Pulisic to be like, hey, how can we get you back at your best? Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you play preferential treatment. He's still the top player. If the World Cup was today, you start him every single game. For
yeah,
sure. Because you're going to get that out of him. That's different. But like when you have these three games in a week, you have the excuse to say, where do I best use him? What's the best opponent? What's the best way to get him and his confidence back so he can go back to his club team and thrive and perform? And obviously they have a little bit of a break now with Chelsea. But I look at that and I think like there's some way to massage that. That's not just whether or not like he deserves to be the starter or you get him another chance because he's going to continue to get better. And these games are hard, man. Like you – at these types of temperatures, it's not a natural feeling. It's a mentality thing, right? Mm-hmm, and I'm not saying he had it or didn't have it, but it's it's mind over everything else in those games, right? Like a tackle hurts much more. Your body doesn't run naturally. Like your hands are cold. Your feet are cold. You're not playing it out of your mind. You're in your mind a lot of the game and you're having to sort of motivate yourself. And so I don't know if those are the right places for him to get these to get the starts over anybody else, but I think he'll get another start here. And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be the starter, but I could see you saying, hey, we're going to get you that last 30 to open up against Canada for you to be the hero versus forcing you to get kicked. Because if you looked against El Salvador, every time he got the ball and dribbled, they collapsed on him. Now, El Salvador won that battle. They won the ball more often than not. They did their job. But when they collapse on him, there's a lot of space opening up for other players around the field if we can be smart enough to work them out. If he's getting double teamed or people are sort of targeting him and how they set up their defensive lines, it means that there's other space out there that we should execute. And so when he's on the field, we do have that advantage. But, you know, again, it was an underwhelming performance for me in terms of Christian.
100%. I'm going to put a silver lining, though, on this Christian Pulisic talk, because what I find incredibly encouraging is that about 2 years ago, or there was a pocket of time, Heath, where if he didn't play well for us, we really struggled. And now we're at a point where if he doesn't play well for us, we have so many other options that can help us have success. And I think that is such a bonus, and we should be very excited. And we also know quite intimately that there is a nice bunch of younger players that are coming through that are going to be just as special.
Oh yeah.
If not more so in our youth national team. So yeah, exciting times all the way around. Christian Pulisic, I think, will find his form. I think he's battling a couple different things right now. And I think honestly, the best way to say it, he just seems to lack a little bit of confidence, because we've seen him. When he's confident, even when he's not playing well, if he's still got that swagger and that attitude that he can do anything at any moment, he still can pull off something special. And I just feel like he's lacking that a little bit right now. And like I said before, this is part of the evolution of a player. You're going to have those ups and downs. And I'm curious to see how he fights through this down. And obviously he'll be around, you know, some teammates. And I think he's in the right place to help fight that. Because I remember he went through it before with Chelsea, came into the national team, had some fun with the guys again, went back and started to play well. So hopefully that's what happens as well. So who's your man of the match? Let's just get into that really quick before we take our first break and then break down all the other games happening in this first match day of this window.
I want to give it to Sergiño Dest. Because I hold him to an unrealistic standard in the way that I judge him. Only because of the fact that he plays at Barcelona. We've seen a few times at Barcelona when he's been world-class lights out. And we know the type of defender he is, or fullback that he is, or wingback that he is. And I want to see more from him. I want to see that commitment and evolution. I thought that his attitude was right. I thought he played simple when he needed to more often than not. There was a couple times when he dribbled into nothing and lost the ball, but more often than not, he was looking to combine, do the simple things right, know when the space was, the timing of his runs to get forward, to be the relief for pressure. His quality of his service, I thought, was really, really good. So I've got him targeted as well, because it's easy for me to go with Adams. It's easy for me to go with Robinson, which I think is also a shout. Ferreira could have been a shout if he had finished those. I would have definitely given it to him. But outside of that, there wasn't anybody that really stood out to me. Of course, that means you could go with the back line who was otherwise solid.
Weston McKennie, do you feel like there's any room to make him man of the match? Because I thought he was doing some things that some of the thankless work, whether he's making a run to create space for other people or he gets on the end of a lot of stuff. And I thought he was driving the game and you could tell his confidence is high. Yeah. I mean, that was clear when watching him play.
Is he your man of the match?
I think he was solid. I actually agree with Diego. I thought he's just really solid. And something you've mentioned before, you know, we had a lot of sevens and eights out there today. Now, it didn't turn into goals per se, but we had a lot of good, solid performances. Mm-hmm. And as a result, we got a relatively professional win. We had to go out there and win. And I guess that's why I'm kind of buzzing a little bit, because this was going to be a tough game. El Salvador had been very good in the first game of all three of the previous windows. They got a 0-0 draw against us in window one. They had a 1-0 win against Panama in window two. And then they had a 1-1 draw with Jamaica. They're very good because they have time to prepare for those games. Hugo Perez, the coach of El Salvador, knows how to get his guys ready. So I was nervous for this.
He gets them in for like 1 month training camps, which is amazing.
Which is, I know, he gets them ready to go. And I thought that made me nervous. So for us to go out there and get a professional performance and scrape by and do what we had to do to get the 3 points, I guess that's what I'm happy about, that we showed some grit. And grit is really important to the success of any team out there. So I just wanted to throw out there, Adams had too many giveaways for man of the match. Says Derp, we got Des, McKennie, A-Rob, better choices. Yeah, McKennie, I thought, was quietly pretty solid. I thought Ferreira was solid.
I like A-Rob as a name, by the way. A-Rob solid. I'm going to go with A-Rob now. Because
instead of Jedi?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jedi's fine too, but when we talk about
A-Rob and Miles A-Rod, Robinson. I like that.
That's a solid one. I'm gonna try to get that one going a little bit. But I mean, so who would you have picked for you? I mean, on my McKinney front, I think it's fantastic that he's putting in the shift and his confidence is there right now. I have an expectation for him to do that every single time as well. And Musa McKinney and Adams, the more they can play together, the better. I think they control midfields that we never really look exposed or vulnerable if they rotate in circles all the time. They have that workhorse mentality, which I think is really, really good. But I'm still going with Sergiño Dest. I don't know why, but like I just something about his game today I really liked. Yeah.
So something about Tyler Adams that I really liked, and you brought it up earlier, where, and this is a proper CDM, by the way, when our outside backs get drawn up the field and he's covering, he's tracking a midfield runner that's trying to expose that space, and he got there. I saw him do it a few times, and I'm like, that's why I love the guy. He recognizes danger. He sees it. He anticipates it. He's ready for it, and he makes a play. I have nothing but the utmost respect for players that see it and make plays, because we have a lot of times where we have players, not necessarily on our national team, but when I see different clubs around the world or national teams around the world, there's people that are just passengers. They're just watching the game go by, and there's others that are actually going out there and doing something about it. And I thought Tyler Adams. Now, if his passing had been a little bit better, if he'd cleaned it up on that side, and one or two times he got caught out, and that they kind of exposed us, and against Canada or any other teams that have some tremendous players, we could get punished for that. We didn't get punished for that tonight.
What about Musa, Jimmy? What about Musa? I mean, there was nothing
quiet. Yeah, he was quiet.
He was quiet, but like he's still this guy that like when Tyler Adams is getting pressured, Musa's the one that shows up every time in a tough spot to solve the problem. He checks in. He's always on a diagonal passing lane. Mm-hmm. He's always advancing the ball forward. He's always looking for the ball in tough spots. He always wants it. And he's got this explosive ability and this belief that I don't remember ever having outside of, say, Benny Failhaber was one that I thought was comfortable drawing players in, taking one touch to break past them, and then distribute the ball to the other side. Like that comfort of like drawing a player in so tight to you they can poke it away just to drive past them. There's little things like that that I think are really, really good about his game. But I did think he was coming too deep earlier on. But it was another one where I was like, it's quiet, but it wasn't bad.
Sure.
He put in the shift. He had a big chance on goal that he should have finished and things like that. But like, you know, I don't think there was a poor performance in that whatsoever, and he put in a shift.
I don't know. I feel like I'm always on the fence, man, because I'm like, oh, no, I like this guy. And then like, oh, well, I really like this. I'm going to go with A-Rob. I'm going to go with Anthony Robinson because we needed somebody to step up and make a play on the attack side of the
Jimmy.
Ball.
Like, just say
I do.
I do
love him. And also, I just want to reward somebody that figured out a way to score. And that goal is going to act, I think, to be very vital for us as we look to qualify here sooner rather than later. All right, everybody, we're going to take our first break, but don't go anywhere on the YouTubes. We'll be right back in like 5 seconds. And if you're listening to us on audio form, you got a little quick commercial, and then we'll be right back. And we're going to get into all the games. It looks like Costa Rica is going to beat Panama. Mexico comes back and does the miraculous against Jamaica. Canada, very professional performance down in Honduras. We're going to break all of it down and what it means moving forward, so don't go anywhere.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Cagle Lasso podcast. Your two favorite former U.S. men's national team players are here with you, Jimmy Conrad and Heath Pierce. Now, before we get into the other action in CONCACAF, for those of you or maybe you're just joining us, we've got a $100 Paramount Plus subscription to give away. Okay, here are the details. The gift card is going nowhere though, unless we get 700 likes. We got to get 700 likes. That's step one. And you have until Sunday to get those 700 likes. So even if you're watching this after the fact, just hit the like button and make it happen. Also, I must mention, you got to leave your Instagram or your Twitter handle in the chat comment section so that we know if you win, where you can get it. Zach Steger won our other one we had on Monday for the U.S. Men's National Team Hour. We are just going to be handed. We're like Santa Claus, me and Heath and producer Dez. We just want to give you the goods. We want to reward you for rewarding us. We appreciate your support and the community we're building. We love what we got going on. So I just wanted to make sure that you guys know what's what. All right. Now, before we get into the other games happening in CONCACAF, there's a little bit of transfer news. And our very own Greg Berhalter decided to act like Fabrizio Romano and break it. As he talked about this with Matt Turner, he says in a post-game press conference, he says, well, first of all, I think it's just a great story about Matt Turner. And I hope the public's aware of these sense of Matt Turner because it's an incredible story. He went to Fairfield College. He was undrafted out of college. And now he's playing with the national team and he's headed to Arsenal. It's just an amazing story. And it's all down to him, his work ethic, his belief in himself, and his never give up attitude. Thoughts on Matt Turner getting confirmed by Arsenal Heath Pierce, by our very own U.S. Men's National Team coach, Greg Berhalter.
I love it. I love it. You know? It's also a great thing to just shift the focus of like, how did the team perform, into like a really rosy, happy story and be like, hey guys, look over there and distract everyone from having to critique and review performances. But I think this is I don't want to say it's a great move timing wise for the national team, because I think Matt Turner is good because he's sharp. He's sharp because he plays. I think that's the type of guy that he is because of the mentality that he's had. I think he'll stay sharp, but he is going in as coverage, at least for the time being. I guess it's not till summer that he's going, right? And so I guess he'll have some games going into summer, but then that's when I worry of like summer into winter. We could be going into a World Cup without a goalkeeper that's a starter on their club team, other than Gabriel Slonina, who's also being linked with a move abroad for a decent amount of money at 17.
I know. Into a golden generation of goalkeepers in the U.S.? I mean,
back for the thing where they used to say, America can't play football, but those goalkeepers are good. I think it's because they have all the American sports. You know, they do a lot of hand-eye coordination. That's why they're good. They're a step ahead there, but man, they suck at playing with their feet.
What's crazy about Gabriel Slonina, even though he's only 17, a two-time World Cup veteran for the U.S. men's national team, Tony Meola, came out and likened him to Gigi Buffon. Wow. I was like, God damn, that is a comparison. Talk about putting pressure on a player.
Do you remember 10 Gigi years Buffon, ago, or five, dude. 5 years ago, Jimmy? Do you remember 5 years ago? If you would have made a reference like that, you would have been ridiculed off the internet.
Yeah, true.
But now it's not actually outside the realm of possibility that you can liken somebody to somebody else and they go, well, all right, now you're just being like stupid. You know, you can't connect it. Like, now you're talking about, like, even Europe is buying into the hype that he could be or likened to a Gigi Buffon, one of the greatest goalkeepers to ever play the game. Yeah. You're talking about a 17-year-old super prospect that's probably the top three 17-year-old goalkeepers in the world right now.
I know.
And you're not having to go out on a limb and go like, oh, this is another one of these stories. Like, the rest of the world is buying into that hype right now too, which is incredible.
I wish that they would also compare him to Iker Casillas. I mean, right, Emmanuel Neuer, just to put as much pressure on him as possible and see if he can handle it. All right, let's talk about our biggest rivals, Mexico. They were on the better end of a red card. I guess Andres Guardado's ankle, by the way. Andres Guardado's ankle. I'm going to make sure I say that right. Mm-hmm. Probably feels otherwise. But they get a red card right before halftime, and they give up the first goal on a set piece. They go down 1-0. I thought at this point, Heath, I'll be honest, 60th minute, 70th minute, 70. I'm like, Tata Martino is going to get out. He's going to be fired. And I'm already thinking, man, who are they going to bring in? And I was hoping, please be Frank De Boer. Please be Frank De Boer, because I think that guy's an absolute fraud. And then, of course, they figure out a way to make it happen. Jamaica finally broke defensively. Henry Martin scores in the 81st minute. He was the one that scored in the 89th minute against Jamaica at Estadio Azteca in the first qualifying game. And that helped them win 2-1 to survive that. He scores to make it 1-1, and 2 minutes later, and Tecatito came in. I actually thought he didn't start the game. They didn't have Tecatito, didn't start, but he came on as a sub.
No, Chucky
Lozano was out, and Raul Jimenez was out.
I think
Diego Lainez didn't start either, and they both came on. Tecatito and Lainez came on as subs, and I thought Tecatito was super bright, super positive, trying to take tired Jamaican players on. He ends up setting up the second one for Alexis Vega. They end up winning 2-1. Tata Martino just went from Tata out to Tata in. Give this guy a new contract. I love the highs and lows of the Mexican fans.
Tata Martin, yes.
Exactly. Great performance, though, ultimately. They made the plays. And maybe, I don't say great performance, but I would say they made the plays that they needed to make. I feel like that's been kind of their MO throughout qualifying. Very similar to the U.S. in some ways. Not always pretty, but getting the results and doing just enough to potentially qualify for a World Cup. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters anyway.
Oh, yeah, I fully agree. And again, the experiment for me that's weird is, okay, you have no Raul Jimenez. You go with Funes Mori again, who continues to not score goals for the national team. And then Henry Martin, who scored against Jamaica, scores again to open that up, which I think is a huge thing for him. He's obviously a different type of striker than the other two. I mean, he is closer to Funes Mori, but I just wonder what the loyalty to Funes Mori is in terms of his starts within the national team. But like you said, I mean, when I was looking at it, I was like down 1-0, but I still had this idea of like, especially with the red card, if you put all things equal, I'd be like, okay. But it just felt like it had too much. The goal against meant that they were going to attack harder. Being up a player, they were going to wear them down and eventually expose them. And, you know, it just takes one moment, which I think Jamaica is always capable of giving you one or two moments. And if you can capitalize on those and finish those,
right,
you're right back in the game again. And then at that point, Jamaica, who are chasing points, are going to open up, right? They're going to have to take strategic risks. And we talked about that, them needing the points in this game. And then it's just that, you know, you get sent off. And it was a little bit of an unfortunate red card, by the way, where it you know, he obviously makes contact pretty high on the ankle, but he's going through it early on, makes good contact with the ball at least. And then it's not like he comes over the top. But
no, so for everybody that doesn't know, it's a 50-50 ball. Guardado's coming in with Lowe, the center back for Jamaica. And Lowe just swings through it. And when he swings through it, he just lets his leg stomp right on Guardado's ankle. And he could have pulled out. I mean, that initial motion of trying to kick the ball, he could have, but he just let his ankle, he just went for the stomp, and he didn't have to, and that's what got him. You know what's crazy about this red card, though? This is the first game that VAR has been introduced into CONCACAF World Cup qualifying, and Jamaica got punished for it, and I'm sure other players might have got punished for it earlier, but because they didn't have it, you know, a lot of stuff maybe got called that won't be called or will be called now. Because
that's
they have
a full red card when you go to VAR. Oh,
yeah, for sure, you know. For sure. So it's just a little unfortunate.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, I felt bad for Jamaica because it just couldn't hold on. And obviously for us, you know, I think we all would have, if Mexico would have lost, you know, being up a man against a valiant effort from the Jamaicans, but it was a little bit too much. And as Dirk said in the comments, once they went down 1-0, but we're still up a man, they knew Mexico were going to come back. And I guess we could all see that was the possibility, but you just didn't know. And when it got to the 80th minute, I was like, maybe this is the day. Maybe this is the miracle for Jamaica. And they could make it happen. And I think this really kills Jamaica. They're on 7 points right now. If we looked at the table, Honduras lost, so they got 3. El Salvador's on 6. Jamaica's on 7. But because Costa Rica, Brian Ruiz, the ageless wonder, he's like the Zlatan of Costa Rica, he scores in the 65th minute, vital win for Costa Rica. That means they're on 12. Panama's on 14. Mexico's on 17. We're on 18. Canada is on 19. It is pretty close to the top here. We're going to take a look for everybody watching on YouTube. But that Costa Rica win really crushes Jamaica's hopes for even getting a sniff at the four. Panama apparently hit the crossbar in the 92nd minute. We were recording this while that game was finishing up. So that could have obviously changed if they got a draw there. But what are your thoughts on Costa Rica's big win? The Ticos doing the business at home against in a game that they needed to win, Heath.
Oh, I mean, the concerning thing for me is the fact that Costa Rica now, and I don't think they have the firepower to really go from here on out because they're going to have to win quite a few of their games to really be in contention. But if you look at them versus the four spot, they're 2 points off the fourth spot. And they're just very old. And I wrote them off very early on in terms just because of the lack of depth that they had, the lack of transition in their generations to go to the next that we're going to challenge. But now when you look at it, they're 2 points off that fourth place spot. Panama have to play against Mexico away from home. I think Mexico are at home in this next one against Panama.
That's Costa Rica. Mexico plays at home to Costa Rica.
Sorry. Mexico plays at home to Costa Rica.
And they have Jamaica away as well. So the Costa Rica have two tough games. But they finish with Canada at home, El Salvador away, and Costa Rica or against the U.S. at home. That's a tough window, man. Both of those windows are tough. They needed to win this game. Sorry, keep going.
Okay, so Panama played Jamaica at home. Okay, yeah, I had that backwards. Yeah, so Mexico, Costa Rica, that's a tough run for Costa Rica to get through that, right? They've got a tough go from here on out. I mean, everybody does, but I think the U.S. is in a good spot. Let me ask you this, Jimmy, actually. Looking at this, at the way the table lies right now, who's the best team in CONCACAF for you?
I think it's Canada. I thought they were tremendous today against Honduras. They did what they needed to do. I thought that
a 2-0 shutout away from home. in Honduras is very, I mean, it's Honduras, it's on 3 points and whatever, but like,
I get it. I get it.
Professional performance.
Very professional. And also we have to remind everybody that back in 2012, when they were trying to qualify just to get into the hex, to get into the last phase of qualifying, they didn't need a draw. They needed a draw in the same exact stadium they played tonight in San Pedro Sula. And they lost 8-1. It's one of the most embarrassing performances. And I think the second worst loss in Canadian men's national team history. And that is hardcore. And they needed to exercise some demons. And they did. They did it without Alfonso Davies, which is even more impressive. But they had Junior Hoilett. They had Kyle Larin. Jonathan David scored a very good goal. Tejon Buchanan was excellent. And I was really impressed with the Canadian performance. A very professional performance, but also showed those glimpses that we were talking about with the U.S. And I actually think that Canada is doing that a little bit more consistently. And in some ways, I think their manager, John Herdman, has their identity a little bit more stamped in stone than maybe the U.S. do with ours. I think at times we're starting to find our best 11, but I think Canada knows who they are, what they're about. They don't try to be anything that they're not. And I think that really speaks to why they're having success. And I just want to throw it out there. I don't think Canada is just trying to qualify for the World Cup. I think they've now gotten to a point where we're going to prove that we're the best team in CONCACAF. And I want to give a shout out to them with that mentality, because it's definitely showing through. And I'm very curious to see how they play against us in a couple of days.
Well, honestly, Jimmy, I'm not even thinking about the best team in CONCACAF. When I look at them, I go, you have Kyle Larin playing in Turkey, one of the biggest clubs in Turkey. You have Jonathan David, top scorer in Liga. You have Alfonso Davies, by far best player in CONCACAF, playing for a team that wins everything. He's won everything at his age. He's by far their best player. You've got Atiba Hutchinson, who's up there in age, but also playing one of the best teams in Turkey. You've got Eustechio, who's been a wonder for them so
just
far. And then you've
got this. Eustechio just signed with Porto, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that. And, yeah. You know, you have all these players, and then you've got Larea, who's at Nottingham Forest now. You have Tejon Buchanan, who's just gone to Belgium. You've got this, I don't even want to call it a golden generation, but they're going through this mm-hmm. building of a number of players that can contribute to the team. Ike Ugbo doesn't even play, and he's a Chelsea youth player that's now at Genk and a very good goal scorer.
So do you agree with me then that Canada's the best team in CONCACAF right now?
Yeah, but I guess the point that I was trying to make is I don't even think they're trying to be the best team in CONCACAF. If they go to a World Cup and you have Kyle Larin, Jonathan David and Alfonso Davies as your front three attackers, that is very dangerous. And that is a very good team on that front. And then you add a few other pieces into your midfield and whatever. We'll see how the next months play out. But then with Buchanan, with Larea, you have players challenging for starting spots that are legitimate ballers in almost every single position. And then you go to their back line and you're like, okay, they're not as well known. Alistair Johnson, Vitoria, you've got Donnell Henry, who didn't start in this one. You've got a number of players that can challenge for starting spots. And it's a good team. And then you have, what's his name? The goalkeeper at Red Star Belgrade. And so Borjan. And so it's a good team that I don't even think they're thinking about qualifying for a World Cup now. I mean, of course they are, because it's a huge, huge accomplishment, but they're a team that could do well if they were put into the right group in the World Cup. That's a team that I think could get results.
Well, yes, I agree with you. I think when I look at CONCACAF in general, I wouldn't, if I was a European team, let me just see it from this perspective. And you're like, oh God, Canada. I know they got good players, don't know much about them. And those are the teams that can sting you. The ones that you think you should beat, but you don't know much about them, those are the ones that always catch you. And you're like, ah, oh, man, we should have done our homework on these guys. These guys are really good. And you come back with a newfound respect for Canada or whoever you play. I think the U.S. falls into that camp a little bit, but I think our players are starting to become more well-known as they're doing a little bit better in Europe and playing more consistently. Mexico's a team you never want to face, even though, let's just say it, they've lost in the round of 16 in 5 consecutive World Cups. So we kind of know where their ceiling is. Mm-hmm. And then whoever comes through, I mean, I don't think Panama did very well the last, you know, when they got into the World Cup and all that. Yeah. But the top three teams are teams that I don't think you want in your group. And anytime that we happen to be in a group like that, we are sometimes part of the group of death because of our quality. We were in the group of death in 2014. We were in the group of death in 2006 when I played in it. That's my flex of the day. It only took me 46
Whoa,
minutes. And
46,
and that's because of what we're developing here. So I think Canada will fall into that camp as well, as a team that has some danger guys, will have nothing to lose. And when you give us that type of mentality where we can be the underdog, and I'm speaking for Canada as well, I think that's a really good chance for us to shine. So yeah, really, it's to what somebody said, one of the comments was, CONCACAF is more fun when Canada is better. And I like it. It is enjoyable to see them. And you know what? I also want to add one more thing. I'm glad that Canada is qualifying for this World Cup without being the host of the tournament. Because in 2026, they're going to get an automatic berth, and everybody's like, oh, this Canada team, they didn't have to earn their berth. I'm glad they're doing it this time around to showcase just how talented they really are.
Yeah, there's going to be more teams anyway in the next World Cup, which will be interesting the way. And Jimmy, can I say something? I haven't seen a lot of comments on the screen in the last couple of minutes. Maybe Dez is just isn't checking them out there. Just a reminder to everybody. I know today you're hosting, but I just want to say something to the
good
people at home or wherever they are right now. We are doing a giveaway. We need 700 likes. We need 700 likes before Sunday. We got a lot of you guys watching right now. And if you're listening to this, go over to YouTube and like this thing. By the way, in order to win, you got to leave your handle from Instagram or Twitter or whatever. Leave it in the chat so our producer Dez can pull those and put them into the raffle so you can get this $100 gift card to Paramount Plus
gift card, dude.
Where all these games are. And by the way, the coverage is fantastic. And you don't get CONCACAF because CONCACAF is you know, a little bit of a start-stop. You get everything else. You get Champions League. You get Europa League. You get the Conference League, where Jimmy's favorite team, Newcastle, are hopefully going to qualify for in the next couple of years.
Come on, that hurts.
You also get Serie A, which is one of the most exciting leagues going on right now. And so you have all kinds of leagues all over the world, including South America. So it's a no-brainer.
We should switch. You're a really good host, Heath. You should try to host sometime.
I'll try hosting the next one. But I just wanted to let the good people I know, because I know that you've hit them a couple times. And I wanted them to know that we're all united in this. We want them all to win.
We are. We're trying to reward the good people that are rewarding us with their attention and their adoration and their great comments. We're building a great community here.
And I dressed up, Jimmy.
You did.
You got to use. You know when you go out, you get dressed up. And then you end up not doing the things you were going to do, and you've wasted the outfit. People saw you, but you didn't get the full excitement out of it. That's why I needed to take over for a second there and just let the people know.
I appreciate that.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls.
Rated PG-13.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
So let's just play a hypothetical game. For everybody listening, make sure you hit us up on K Golasso Pod with your answer once I ask the question. And everybody watching now, let us know with your comments. But Heath, I'm coming to you first.
Okay.
Right now, we are 9 games in to this qualifying phase. We've got 5 games left for every country. Who is your top 4 by the end of this? And what order do they finish in?
I'm going U.S.
Wow.
Mexico. Canada.
What? Wait. U.S.? First, you're going Canada all the way to why? Explain. You just can't listen. Everybody, come on. Can we rewind the tape here?
You just put said me on the Canada spot, man. Let me look at everybody's games first before I say something really stupid.
Okay.
I know the U.S. has a really difficult run towards the end. Hopefully, Costa Rica's out.
We have our 3 hardest games away from home, away to Mexico or away to Canada first, then away to Mexico and then away to Costa Rica. So we have some very difficult games. Why it's very important for us to win all of our home games and then try to get a draw away from home. Canada.
No, we have U.S., Panama.
Yes, we play Costa Rica. Canada. We have Panama.
No, we have Canada.
Mexico.
No. Listen, we've got.
Whose perspective are you talking about?
Yeah.
U.S.
U.S. Yeah. So U.S. We have Canada. And then we have Honduras. And then we have. Then we have Mexico
away.
And then we
have Panama
at home. And then we have Costa Rica away.
Yeah.
Costa Rica, by that point, I expect to be down and out. Maybe. I'm hoping. That's my assumption.
That's your hope.
Panama at home. I think there's 6 points in there that put us at the top. And then when I think about the other qualifying campaigns and how they wrap up, Canada have to play Panama away, which there could be some implications there. You have Canada have to play Jamaica at home. They've got Costa Rica away. They've got El Salvador away. Some tough games after this. And not to say that anybody would have them tough, but I just think that there could be some points that they give up along the way because they have a strong foundation, but somebody's going to figure them out, right? Somebody's eventually going to figure a little bit out on Canada to at least take some points away from them. So I think the U.S. finishes on top. They've got a lot of momentum. They got a lot of belief, and we haven't really seen a top performance yet. We're going to get that, I'm hoping, eventually. Mexico fall right into the second one. I don't know, Jimmy. I'm an idiot.
I don't know.
What
no,
do you
no.
think?
No,
what
it's
your,
tough.
What's your
I mean,
top
I'm,
four?
I'm looking at it, too. I actually didn't want you to throw me the question. I just wanted to be the host. I think with Canada, they're going to be up for our game. So that one, I think, I'm hoping for a draw. And obviously, yeah. we'll get into the preview. We're going to have a special preview that'll be
wow,
dropping
Preston
on
Preston said Mexico, Canada, U.S. Jimmy, not a lot of faith in the USA right now,
Preston
even though we got all caps.
Mexico, Canada, U.S. Yeah. Wow. Preston, come on, buddy. That's good. I'm kind of leaning towards Canada to get first. I think that Alphonso Davies will be back for the next window. Mm-hmm. So you have him for Costa Rica away, Jamaica at home, and Panama away. Those will be tough games, but I think he helps out a lot. I think away to El Salvador just got their heart broken. I mean, that pretty much sealed their deal. They're not going to qualify for the World Cup, right? So I just don't think they're going to have the same vigor that they would have had they still had a chance. So that helps Canada a little bit. Mexico, hold on. Let me look at Mexico really quick. I want to see what their – Mexico has Costa Rica at home. Not easy. Now, Mexico did go to Costa Rica and get a result. It was a 1-0 result. That was a big win away from home. Mexico's actually been pretty good away from home this whole qualifying. They're home to Panama. And then for the next window, it would be home to us, away to Honduras, who suck right now, Honduras. They haven't won any games yet. Sorry, that felt pretty strong. Sorry, Honduran fans. And then Mexico hosts El Salvador. So they should get 6 points in the last two games against us. They could even get 9 points in that last window if they play well against us at home. You know that because it's the first game, they're going to have some time to prepare for it. And obviously that game's going to have huge implications. And they're going to want to get back to us. They can't lose to us again 4 straight times, can they? And then at home to Panama, they should get, man, Mexico's in a good spot. Mexico's, because their last two games are against El Salvador and Honduras, who aren't going to put up a fight anymore. But maybe at that, I don't know. So then.
Yeah, that's always a hard one because all bets could be off type of thing. You never know. You think Mexico's on top?
I could see Mexico kind of, they survive today, you know? And then they go back home for the next two games this window where they're going to be a little bit more settled in. Chucky Lozano comes back into the team. Tecatito will probably start. You know, they need Funes Mori to do something. I don't know. It's so hard.
I think the U.S. beats Canada. The U.S. beats Canada, and when they beat Canada, because I still think on paper, if the U.S. turns up at their best performance versus Canada's best performance, the U.S. is better. I think Canada's been better in this qualifying campaign, but the U.S. are better at their best than I think Canada. U.S. wins that. I think U.S. goes top of the group. I don't know where it finishes after that, but I do think Canada might fall off a little bit and give up some points along the way. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Well, I don't know. Costa Rica now, that Mexico-Costa Rica game is really interesting because Costa Rica now feel like they have a chance.
Yeah.
But I could see a draw in Mexico-Costa Rica. I could see a draw in U.S.-Canada. So everything kind of stays the same. Panama, sorry, everybody. I just want to look really quick. Panama plays Jamaica at home and then away to Mexico. And then they have Honduras and then us and then Canada.
There's no easy games, man.
But Jamaica's out. I think Jamaica's out. And Panama has to know that if they can really make Jamaica out if they get a result. So I think Panama wins. That puts them on 17. Everybody else draws. That's 20, 19, 18, 17. And Costa Rica would have 13.
What does the U.S. need? 7 points? 7 points.
I don't even know.
Our last five to qualify, I think.
What do you think total we need? We're on 18.
I think
we
got to
get,
20,
25 points, you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, it's 25 points, I think maybe numerically gets you in.
I guess it depends on who you're getting those points against, to be honest. This is tricky, everybody. Obviously my heart goes USA all the way, but if I'm looking at this practically and with no emotional bias, I just like the way Mexico's schedule is setting up. Now, they haven't necessarily run away with it, and we've seen them trip up. But I feel like maybe they already had their window with their two consecutive losses last time to us in Canada. That was their window where they're going to trip up. They almost had it today, but now they feel like they've got that. They can breathe. They almost botched it against Jamaica, but they made it. Now they got two home games to close out the window. Yeah, I think Panama gets there, though, even though I'd be pulling for the Ticos just to see Keylor Navas get into the World Cup. You know what? I'm going to be a homer. I'll say USA first. I like Mexico second, and I guess you said the same thing, U.S., Mexico, Canada?
Yeah, dude. I'm telling you. It's not that easy,
such homers. Let me rephrase. I think the schedule, I think Mexico's first. We're going to make it hard for ourselves, and I think we'll tie with Canada for second.
Oh, my God.
And then Panama gets fourth. What an idiot.
I don't know. I would love anybody.
It's really hard.
That's watching this, or you've listened to this on audio, hit us up on social media. Because
five games left, and we still can't really figure out who's going to finish where.
Yeah, I mean, there's still five teams potentially to get three spots and four and then the half spot for the intercontinental playoff. I mean, again, I still think the odds are really high that you can qualify. You're playing in a, by the way, it's a one-off, that intercontinental playoff for anybody.
Which is wild.
That's it's insane. Wait,
where's the game? Neutral site?
I think
site
it's neutral site. And it's a one-off. So you'll likely be playing against the Kiwis, the
New Zealand.
New Zealand. Yeah. For some reason, I could not think of that. And so it's a tough matchup. New Zealand don't always have the strongest of teams, but
over
in a
90
one-off,
minutes,
I don't know. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think over two legs, it used to be two legs, I would take our fourth place team all day, every day. But New Zealand in a neutral spot, just in a one-off 90 minutes, mm-hmm. that's rough. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Let me ask you this then. Of all the teams, and maybe we don't know, looking at 2026 and what we see from here, who do you think has the furthest to go from this group? Because when I look at El Salvador, I looked at it and I was like, dude, they've given up so many goals. But when I think about the tight games, like you said, start of every round, first two games in every round, they've been very hard. They've been a very stingy defense.
Yeah.
They don't score a ton, but they felt, going back again to the Gold Cup where they beat Qatar and they were a very exciting team to watch. So I was like, man, they seem close to something. Mm-hmm. But now looking back, and if you look at it on paper, they seem super far. But you go to this result, and you're like 1-0. That's a tight game
away from home
for El Salvador. I mean, who do you think has the furthest to go, or who do you think's got a chance of being the next emerging Canada? And not to disrespect anybody to be an emerging Canada, but like, who's the next emerging team you think in the next couple of years that we might see?
El Salvador seems like a romantic choice for the reasons that you mentioned. I think Panama, and I think they're going to qualify, have done a nice job of kind of age or easing out their old guys, whereas Costa Rica still holding on to that. Honduras going through a transition. I mean, Maynor Figueroa is still out there doing his thing. I think he's older than us, Heath. And I like Jamaica too. I just think that Jamaica could be that team. And I wish they were actually competing for that fourth spot. They're such a fun team to watch, especially when they get going. And I hope it's Jamaica. Let me just say it like that. As much as I just don't know if El Salvador has the,
but you've also got, outside of that, Guatemala, you've got Trinidad. There's other potential in there. And then what were the two CONCACAF nations that were being sort of having some bolstering from dual nationals that didn't quite make the last round? I can't remember who they were. But I think you're going to see more robust teams going that dual national route.
For sure.
I know this is a bit of a
random. Well, Jamaica's one that obviously would benefit from more time with those dual nationals, right? A lot of them just showed up before qualifying. And I think if that became more of a pathway and the guys that could be dual nationals respected that process a little bit more and showed up for more games, then I think you're going to see a much different version of Jamaica. Whereas I don't think, let's say El Salvador doesn't necessarily have all those like potential dual nationals floating around out there. So I think Jamaica would be the next one that could potentially emerge as a Canada that's really banging on the door and being a force to be reckoned with. Because we see glimpses of it. So they're almost there. Just like we used to see with Canada. You saw glimpses. We could never really put it together. All right, everybody. We're going to call it a show. Heath Pierce. I gave you like the Barcelona. Heath Pierce.
My basket.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. That little Catalan lift. But Heath Pierce, always a pleasure to do this with you. And producer Dez, thank you guys so much. Everybody watching, as a reminder, make sure you hit that like button because we're giving a $100 gift card away to Paramount Plus. Yes, it's happening. If you're listening on audio, come over and find this YouTube video and hit that like button because we need to get to 700 likes for that to happen. Also, I have to mention, make sure you leave your Twitter or Instagram handle in the chat, in the comments section, so that our producer Dez can pick a winner. Zach Seeger already won earlier today. We're going to have more of these coming, so don't you worry. We want to make sure we reward this community because we have a very special one that we're growing here. So that was it. Congratulations to all the teams that won today, especially the U.S. men's national team, taking some pressure off. And make sure you join us tomorrow on YouTube for our big preview of the game against Canada, the U.S. versus Canada. They go up to Hamilton, to make that happen. And then obviously we'll be previewing all the games that are going on match day two of this qualifying window. And then make sure you listen to this on Saturday when it drops on podcast form. I'm Jimmy Conrad. So on behalf of me and Heath Pierce and producer Dez and everybody that's been watching, you know what? We're done. We're done talking. We'll see you next time. Later, everybody.
News. CBS Monday.
NCIS!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island that got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching, these have been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.